Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 7. We're jumping back into our series titled Parables, the Stories of Jesus. We kind of took a little break last week, as I mentioned earlier, as we had the missionaries from Vanuatu come and they shared and did a great job. Again, you can listen to them online. But we're kind of jumping back in now to the series that we started before they came on the parables, these stories of Jesus. And all throughout the gospel, we see Jesus share stories or illustrations that help bring light to the spiritual truths that he was trying to teach to those that were listening. And they were spiritual truths that if we grab hold of them, they can ultimately change our lives forever. He spoke these things with power and with authority. And so this morning, if you grew up in Sunday school at all, at least back from my days of Sunday school and maybe even older, you are probably familiar with this parable. It's the story of the wise and the foolish builder. And many of us know this parable from the old Sunday school song, right? You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built... You guys remember that? House upon the rock. It was either the rock or what? The foolish man built his house upon the sand, right? And when you get to the end, you know, or it goes in the, you know, the rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. And the house on the rock, what did it do? It stood firm. And the house on the sand went what? Splat, right? That was my favorite part. I loved, you know, and we'd all be like up there and we'd like, and the house on the sand went splat, and we'd like fall over, and it would be just this fun Sunday school kind of thing. So anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. You're nodding your heads. Others, you're looking like, that dude is a wacko. How did he even get up there? But we're going to dive into this story, all right, of the wise and the foolish builder. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It's Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 29. This is what it says this morning. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." And it finishes up, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." Now, this parable comes at the very end of one of Jesus' most famous sermons, one of his most famous messages. It comes right at the end of his message known as the Sermon on the Mount. And so people have gathered around. There's many people around as he's sharing these words, as he's challenging them with these thought-provoking illustrations. And he finishes with this story. And here's the interesting thing. When you look at Jesus and when you look at his teachings, he has this way of putting the people he's talking to into two groups, right? You're either this or you're this. We see Jesus do this all the time throughout the scriptures, right? You know, we got the sheep and the goats. He talks about hot and cold, right? Right, wrong. And in this story, we got wise and foolish, which are, if you read closely in these scriptures, those who hear and do, that's the wise, and those who hear and don't do, that's the foolish. Now, the problem is with these categories that God gives us, that Jesus gives us, so many of us, we try to we try to fit in the middle, right? We try to find this middle. We try to add our own little category. I'm right in here. But here's the thing. With God, there isn't a middle category. You are either here or you're there, right? We're told in Revelations that if you're in the middle, if you're lukewarm, what am I going to do? What's Jesus going to do to us? He's going to spit us out of His mouth, right? Blah! It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Don't we all want to be spewed out of the mouth of Christ? No, he says you can't be in the middle. Jesus is making it clear that there are only two categories you can fall in, here or here. We're either wise or we're foolish. There is no in between. And I think we got to understand this, because a lot of times we're like, oh, well, Christian and non-Christian, but this isn't about Christian and non-Christian. Because the reality is there are many who call themselves Christians who are fools, all right? They would fall into the foolish category. There are many people who call themselves Christians who at this moment in time, they're missing the boat, right? They're falling short. And I think for us to fully understand this, we need to go back and look at the words that Jesus spoke right before He shares this illustration. Because I think these scriptures here before, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, before He gets to the end, I think these scriptures will put what I'm trying to say into perspective. Maybe because it will give us some context. I've been talking about that. You have to read Scripture in context to what God is saying. We try to grab Scripture out and make it work for us. And so I want to look here at the context of what I'm saying. And it's found in Matthew 7, right before this, verses 21 through 23. Listen to these words. This is Jesus speaking to the people. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' But listen to what Jesus says in verse 23. Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" Does this scripture send goosebumps? I have them right now just as I read that. It sends goosebumps down your spine, and not in a good way, not good goosebumps, okay? These are some pretty powerful things that Jesus talks about that these Christians, or so-called, you know, followers of Christ did, right? Prophesying, that's big, right? Driving out demons, that's huge. Performing miracles. These sound like things that Christians would be doing, right? Yet in the end, Jesus says, "Away from me, I never knew you." That scares me. I don't know about you, but that scares me. Why would Jesus reject this people or these people? Well, it tells us plainly in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. That's the key right there. Jesus concludes the entire Sermon on the Mount by saying, you must do what the Father tells you to do. You must do what I say. You see, it's not just enough to believe what He believes. Many of us say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe His Scripture. Yeah, I believe." It's not just enough to believe what He believes. It's not just enough to think what He thinks. "Oh yeah, I think that's right. I think, yeah, yeah." That's not enough. We have to do what He says to do. You know, it's that you're going to walk, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to what? Walk the walk. We have to live the lives He's calling us to live. We have to walk out His commands. People say, well, yeah, this is old stuff. I mean, you know, we don't really. This is the Word of God. This is how God is telling us to live. If there's things in this Word that we're not doing, then we're falling short. We have to be living the life He's called us to live. That's what the parable of the wise and foolish builder is all about. That's the two categories Jesus is referencing in this story. Those who do what He says, the wise builder, and those who don't do what He says, the foolish builders. We have to ask ourselves, who are we? Which category do we fall under? Are we like the wise man who puts God's Word into practice? When we read scriptures like Ephesians 5, right, that tell us to love and honor our spouses, right, to love and respect each other, to lift them up, are we doing that? When we read that we're supposed to stop lusting or having sexual relations outside of marriage, are we doing that? When we read that we shouldn't drink to the point of drunkenness, is that how we're living? When we read in 1 Peter 4:10 that we're supposed to use our gifts to serve others, are we doing that? When we read in the Scripture about being generous and giving to others, are we doing that? Do we thank God in all circumstances? Do we love? Do we forgive? Do we put others first? These are the things God is telling us to do through His Word. And the reality is, we could sit here all day and go on and just make ourselves feel worse and worse, right? But that's not the point here, okay? The point is to challenge us. It's to challenge us to ask ourselves, are we truly living the life God's called us to live? Are we doing our best to read His Word, to know what He wants us to do, and to not just know it, but begin to live it out? You see, I think the biggest problem that we have is that we're good at making excuses, right? I know I do at times. Well, I know the Bible says this, but it's hard. And if I'm honest, I'd rather do this or that or whatever, right? We've all had those thoughts. I know that it tells us that we should forgive, but you don't know how these people have hurt me. And honestly, I can't forgive them. Now, I know the Bible says that you should love everybody. But I don't know that God was talking about that person over there, okay? Notice I didn't point out here anywhere. I didn't want anybody to think I was pointing at them, right? I know you said not to have sex out of marriage. But we love each other, God. We're meant for each other, right? I know I'm supposed to serve, but man, I just don't have the time. God, I'm sorry, I'm so busy. There's so many other things I'm doing for You, right? Listen to what Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:14. He says, "Small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You see, all those excuses earlier, it was, I want to do this, but, right? Now, I know I'm taking some liberties here, and having a little fun with this analogy, but as Christ followers, Jesus doesn't want our butts to keep us from getting through the gate, right? The narrow gate, right? Big butts will keep us from getting through a narrow gate, okay? Some of you caught that. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? But I'm talking about butts, B-U-T-S, okay? All right? As Christ followers, Jesus doesn't want our butts. They get in the way. Okay? They keep us from getting through that narrow gate. He doesn't want excuses. He wants our obedience. It worked so much better in my mind as I was processing through it. It's true though. You can't get through a small gate with a big butt. So Jesus talks about this in James 1. I move on quickly. Talks about this in James, not buts, he doesn't talk about it. It's something else along this line, okay? But I know I'm digging myself a big hole here. James, I'm glad my wife's not here this morning. She's downstairs in kids ministries. So James talks about this in James 1, 22 through 25, of this concept, okay, that I took liberties with. But he says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, we can't just listen to the word. We can't just read the word. We have to do it. We have to live it out. You know, think about this. How many people are sitting in churches all over America today, sitting through hundreds and thousands of services, listening to sermons, sitting there nodding? Oh yeah. You know, some of them probably speaking up, preach it, pastor, preach it, you know, right? Oh yeah, amen, oh yeah, right? How many people are out there in America today listening to sermons, nodding, affirming what the pastor's saying, but then will walk out the doors and do nothing about it? That was good. That was great. Good job, pastor. And then, whew, and they don't even think about it again. Next week, you ask them what they spoke. Oh, I don't have no clue. I don't know. It was good, though. I remember telling the pastor it was good. You see, this challenge is an internal challenge for us as the people of God to live out the lives God is calling us to live. No matter what the world says or how we feel about it, we're called to hear and do. You see, the world's going to say, oh, come on, nobody does that anymore. That's ridiculous, right? Or we may think, man, seriously, God, the world's doing this and you're wanting me to do this. I'm going to look like an idiot over here. Come on, right? It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what we want to do. We are called to hear the Word of God, to open it up, to allow Him to speak to us, and then walk it out. That's what the Christian life is all about. I want to look at one more example this morning. And I love this example. It's found in Luke 5. It's Peter and Jesus. Luke 5, 1 through 6. Let me just read it to you. I think we have it to go up on the screens too. It says this: one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of, I don't know, Gennesaret, something like that, Gennesare, I don't care, I don't know, it's something like that, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, we know him as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Peter's response here is the response that God desires from each and every one of us. What do you say? Because you say so, I will. BYSSIW, okay? That should be your new texting thing, okay? Especially with you kids, when your parents text you, all right? Because you said so, I will, all right? Because you said so, I will. What if our response to everything the Lord asked us was this? Because you say so, I will. What if we did that with no excuse, no delays, simply just, because you say so, I will. You see, God, Jesus, together, they didn't only write the book on life. They created life. They created you and me. They know better than any of us know. And we have to learn to take our fears, right? Our concerns, our excuses, and anything else that keeps us from following Him, and we have to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Now, it may be hard. It may be difficult, whatever it is He's asking us to do, but we have to come to that place of surrender in our lives where we say, because You say so, I will. You see, this wasn't easy for Peter. For Peter, let me tell you, this didn't make sense at all to him, okay? Peter was a fisherman. That's what he had done all his life. He did it with his father. He did it with his brother. They were fishermen. They had fished all night and caught nothing. Now it's the middle of the day, and they know you don't go fish. You don't throw your net out in the middle of the day. This is ridiculous. And he's sitting there thinking, this is crazy. Jesus, You're not a fisherman. This is not how You would do it. But as crazy as it was, He said, because You say so, I will. And because He did what He was supposed to, what happened? They experienced one of the greatest catches of their life. The boat was overflowing. The nets were ripping. See, the promise of Jesus in Matthew 7 is that if we build our life on Jesus, if we hear His words and if we put those words into practice, our life will be like a house built on a solid foundation. It will not come crumbling down because our life is built on the sturdy foundation of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how strong the storms may be. It doesn't matter what we come up against, what the enemy throws our way. When we're standing on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, we can stand and we can stand firm. And here's the thing. The reality is, the storms will come, okay? They will come. Whether we're a Christian or a non-Christian, right? Whether we're a believer or non-believer, whether we're this or that, it doesn't matter which side you're on, wise or foolish. The storms will come. Life is tough. And those tough times are going to come in our lives. Because building our house on the rock doesn't mean we won't experience storms. You will never hear me preach that at the church. Give your life to Jesus and everything will be hunky-dory, right? No. Just because we built our house upon the rock doesn't mean we won't experience storms. Sometimes we experience greater storms because the enemy's trying to hit us harder. It doesn't mean we won't experience storms. It just means that when the storms come and when they have passed, we'll be standing firm and strong in the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's like Romans 8, 37 through 39. This is what I want my life to be right here, this scripture. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Listen to this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. Nothing else will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this true of our house? Is this true of our lives? Are we hearing and putting what we hear into practice? Are we doing our best to walk in obedience? And I think that's the key there. Did you hear those words? Doing our best. That's the key. Because the reality is, we're going to fail at times. We're going to let the world get the best of us at times. But are we doing the best to live the lives God has called us to live? Are we striving to live for Him and to walk in His ways? Are we taking those, what about Bob? You know, my theology, my what about Bob theology. Are we taking those baby steps closer to the Lord and growing in Him and becoming who He's called us to be? Because if not, if we're not making those strides, if we're not doing our best to do those things, then the ground beneath us is just sand. And sooner or later, it's going to wash away if it hasn't already. Some of us maybe have experienced, I know I've experienced those times in my life where the things I was building my life upon was sand, and my world came crashing down because of my failures and my choice to build my life upon things other than God. What is our foundation? There are so many things that we build our lives on other than Jesus. Let me just give you a few quick examples this morning. This isn't an extensive list, it's just some of those things that popped out to me. For some of us, we build our foundation on money, right? But we know what Jesus says about money. What does man profit if he gains the whole world, but what? Loses his soul. You see, money comes and goes. The economy goes up and down. We can be rich one moment and poor the next. There is nothing stable or sturdy about money. We can't build our foundation on money. How about this? For some of it's education, right? I'm an educated person. That brings stability to my life, right? But here's the thing. We can get all the education in the world, but if we don't follow the commands of Jesus, you know what it will just make us? It'll make us a smart fool. That's all it will make us. A smart fool, right? You see, education is good, but it cannot be our foundation, all right? For some, how about this? They build their foundation on their career, right? We work and we work to get ahead, right? To work our way up the ladder, right? The status and prestige of our career. But what do we really get in the process? More work? More problems? No life? And the reality is, just like money, businesses go, right? Businesses go under, they fail. And the next thing you know, we're sitting there going, oh great, now what do I do? The ground has come out from underneath us. We can't put our career can't be our foundation. And how about this one? This is probably the one that most of us fail at. For some, our foundation is another person. Maybe a spouse, a friend, a parent, a pastor. I don't know. But guess what? It doesn't matter who it is. The reality is, sooner or later, people will fail us. Right? No, nobody's perfect except for Jesus. People will fail us. And what happens when that person that we've built our world around does fail us, or something worse? What happens if they die or leave? What's going to happen to our world at that time? It's going to come crumbling down. We can't build our lives on people. Now, like I said, I could stand here and name thing after thing that we may build our lives on, but the point is, anything other than Jesus Christ is a waste. Building on anything other than Him is building our lives in vain, right? Building on anything else will end with a house that will eventually come crashing to the ground. John says in 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I believe this is ultimately what Jesus is talking about here in this parable. A foundation that leads to an eternity with Christ versus a foundation that leads to an eternity without Christ. And you know what? That eternity without Christ, that's hell. Think about that, okay? A life without Christ. Now some of you go, well, I lived half my life without God. That's no big deal. No. Because we can't understand or fathom what that looks like, because God is here and God is present, whether we want to accept Him or not. But if you pulled God out of this world, let me tell you, this would be the worst thing. This would be hell. God is here, whether you accept Him or not. But Eternity is about whether a lifetime with Him or a lifetime without Him. And it all comes down to the life we live. Are we hearing and doing, or are we just hearing and failing to do? Or choosing not to do, as many people make that choice upon themselves. You see, what is the foundation that our houses are built on? If you're here today and can say without a doubt, I know my house is built on the rock of Jesus, that's awesome. And my encouragement to you is keep doing whatever it is God's telling you to do. And know that He may call you to do bigger and greater things. And you have to continue to do those, right? Keep doing what God's told you to do. Keep building that foundation upon Him. Keep putting the things of the Lord into practice. But if you're here today and you might say, wow, maybe my foundation isn't as solid as I thought it was, right? I mean, I can tell you this week as I'm walking through some of these things, I'm thinking, oh man, okay, I know there's some areas I'm sturdy, but there's some areas where maybe I'm not as sturdy as I thought, right? And if that's you, my encouragement is first to evaluate those areas where your foundation is weak. Where are those areas that you haven't given to God? Where are those areas that you're still putting your trust in other things? You've got to evaluate those areas where your foundation is weak. What are the things God's been telling you to do, but you're finding excuses why not to do them? And then, as you begin to see those things, as God begins to reveal those things to you, I encourage you to seek the Lord and His strength to rebuild those foundations in your life, to continue to give those things to Him. And there's something I want you to realize in this. You can't just lay a solid foundation overnight with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. It takes time to rebuild a solid foundation in our life. It takes time to study the Word, to know the Word and know God's desire for our lives. It takes time. It takes time to develop good habits and good commitments that counter our sin and failures in our life, right? It takes time to build solid Christian relationships where we find accountability and are strengthened and encouraged with one another. But it's these things that take time. If we keep taking those baby steps towards the Lord in them, that will help create the solid foundation that Jesus desires for each of us. And so let's do that, right? Let's start doing those things, and let's not stop doing them until He comes, or until what? The day we die, right? There's my son right there. He just caught it. Till the day I die. Toby Mac came out with a new album just 2 weeks ago, and of course it came out about 2 weeks ago. I pre-ordered it and I got some early songs and all that kind of stuff because I'm a Toby Mac freak. But it was interesting. So immediately we get it. It was a pre-order thing, and it comes out at midnight East Coast time, right? So at 9 o'clock, it popped into my phone. I'm like, yes, oh, kids had gone to bed. And so my wife was gone to something. And I just sat there and was just listening to Toby Mac music. And it's an amazing album. And here's the thing I love about Toby Mac. He loves the Lord, and his lyrics, everything he does. He actually shared it at the concert last night. He said, man, I just sat down on this album and I was saying, God, how do I glorify you with these songs? Give me the words that speak life. You know, and that's one of his big songs, Speak Life. But I'm listening, and it was so funny. I was totally caught off guard. There was one song it ended in, and it was in a lot of rap albums back in the day and stuff. They used to have these kind of tracks that kind of led you into the next song, right? And there was this track on this song that was leading into the next song, and it was like an interview, and it was like they were interviewing Toby. And the guy said, hey, I got a question. You know, there were some funny things, but then the last one was this. He said, hey, Toby, you've been running at that pace for a while. How much you got left in you, man? And as he said, it was just echoed, man, man, man. And I don't know, there was something in those words, how much you got left in you. I just began to weep. And the music started. And it began to sing the song. I just want to share the words for you. But the song was kind of talking about, I think, the idea of, you know, Toby Mac is like 48 years old and he's still this rap artist doing this stuff and music and hip-hop. Amazing guy. And it kind of had that thing, it was about that. But when you read the lyrics, it was really talking about how much you got in you to keep living this life for the Lord, to keep doing what God's called you to do, to keep being someone that lets their light shine, that makes an impact in this world. And these are the words. Let me just read them to you. It says, I'll keep swinging for the fences. It's like his heart is defenseless. Again, the passion that's pumping through my veins. Listen to these words. Blood, sweat, tears. It's a calling. It's a calling on our lives to live for the Lord. And if I can't walk, then I'm crawling. Doesn't matter. Man, I'm getting old. I'm getting tired. I don't care. I'm going to keep crawling for this passion that I have for the Lord. It might flicker, right? Our light might flicker, but they can't kill the flame. And these words, I can't stop. I can't quit. It's in my heart. It's on my lips. I can't stop. I can't quit. It's in my heart. Yeah, I'm all in. And then the chorus goes in, till the wheels fall off, till the spotlights fade, till the spotlight fades, I will lift your banner high. I will lift your banner high until the walls crash in for the rest of my days. I lay it all on the line till the day I die. And I love those words. And I sat there in the room by myself that night. And I thought, Lord, that's my heart and my desire. I know I fail you. I know that I'm not perfect. But I want to live my life for you. I want to be the wise. I want to be the wise builder. That until the day I die, I am faithful to push on as hard as I can push. Even when it's difficult. Even when it goes against the flow of what everyone else is trying me to do, telling me to do. I want to live the life that you've called me to do. That's what Jesus is asking of us. And if we do that, we are going to be a wise builder that builds our house on a solid foundation that when the day comes that we die, we don't. We become alive forever and ever in the presence of God. That's His desire for our lives. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for Your hand upon our lives, for Your love for us. And Lord, we want to be people who learn to hear Your word and put it into practice, Lord Jesus. I know it's hard and I know it's difficult and I know we fail at times and I thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. But Lord, like I said, the key is we want to be doing our best, that when we mess up, that we pick ourselves up and we keep moving closer to You, Lord, until the day we die. Lord, until the day we die and go to be with You and spend eternity with You, may we be faithful to live out the lives that You've called us to live. May we continue to build our house upon a solid foundation, a firm rock, Lord, that will not shake. Lord, we so easily build our lives on other things that crumble, that fade, that disappear, and it leaves us for want, Lord. But we thank You that we have You, Lord Jesus, who came and paid the price so that we don't have to, that we could build our house upon You, upon the life that You've called us to live, Lord. Teach us, show us how to do that, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for what You're doing in each of our lives. Lord, challenge us where we're at, Lord. We're all on this journey. We're all on different places, Lord. Our lives will never look the same, Lord. You've called us to different things, and You're working with us little by little. You say, come as you are, and you slowly work and work and work to help make us into who You've called us to be, Lord. May we hear Your word and respond. We thank You and we just praise You for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.